This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour report recorded on Friday, March 6, 2020. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, unions celebrate International Women's Day with a call to reaffirm the Beijing Declaration. Why the ILO Convention on Violence and Harassment at Work must be ratified. The arrest of a union leader in Hong Kong and singing.
A woman's place is in her union. We organize and stand for equal rights.
This is Radio Labour. Unions around the world are using International Women's Day to again demand respect for the rights of women. C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
Winning equality for women in society and the workplace is long overdue, says the International Trade Union Confederation. The ITUC is the organization which represents national union centers such as the Ghana Trades Union Congress at the world level. It is using this year's International Women's Day on March 8th to call for a recommitment to the Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action. The declaration, produced in 1995, was a groundbreaking initiative calling for the equality of women. The ITUC is also calling for the implementation of Article 8 of the UN's Sustainable Development Goals on Decent Work. Sharon Burrow is the ITUC's General Secretary.
Happy International Women's Day. This is a day of celebration. The solidarity, the struggles of women everywhere, we know what a difference that's made. But it's also a day to continue the struggle. We want to see the unfulfilled promise of Beijing plus 15, now plus 25, realised. We know that women are still unequal in the labour market. The ILO declaration, the centenary declaration on the future of work last year, gave us a promise. We know that we can actually realise decent work for all women if we have a labour protection floor, fundamental rights, occupational health and safety, a minimum wage on which people can live with dignity, and of course, maximum hours of work, married with social protection. But we also need a transformative agenda for women, the capacity to manage work and family, the capacity to be secure in the knowledge that violence and harassment are indeed eliminated or the protections are there should that arise. We need to know that just transitions for climate, for technology, where women are on the front lines, are in fact on the agenda. And of course, we need to realise SDG 8, full employment, a labour protection floor, social protection, investment in care, and the elimination of violence and harassment. That's the agenda. The fight is, of course, alive and well because women everywhere are determined to realise a future for women, for all of us. Solidarity.
You can find more information about the Beijing Declaration and the UN Sustainable Development Goals on the ITUC's website at www.ituc-csi.org. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labour.
The international labour movement is moving quickly to have an ILO Convention on Harassment and Violence at Work ratified by countries. The ILO, the International Labour Organization, is the UN specialised agency focused on matters of work in the world. Two of the labour organizations working to have the convention ratified is Education International, EI, and the International Trade Union Confederation, the ITUC. EI's Madeleine Kennedy McFoy interviewed the ITUC's Director of Equality, Chidi King. She started the interview by asking Ms. King about ILO Convention C-190.
C-190 is the latest convention of the International Labour Organization. It was adopted during its centennial conference.
The ILO?
Yeah.
Well, What's that?
Very good question. The International Labour Organization is a UN agency, and it is the UN agency that is responsible for setting minimum standards in the world of work. I should also say that it's the only tripartite UN agency. So governments, employers, workers come together to do things like negotiate new standards for the world of work.
Very good. So, but why is an ILO convention important?
Precisely because these are the minimum standards that should be observed worldwide. By employers, by governments, and it's a point of reference for us as trade unions as to what we need to bargain for in the world of work.
So why did we need to have this particular convention, 190?
Well, C-190 is a violence and harassment convention, and incredibly, there was no minimum international standard dealing with the question of violence and harassment in our workplaces and in everything that's linked to our work before C-190. This was a crucial instrument, as you can imagine. It came also, you know, on the back of all the social media furor around hashtag MeToo. Mm-hmm. But we had started working on C-190 well before hashtag MeToo. But that did emphasize how important the issue was, how widespread it was, and how urgently governments, employers, workers needed to act to get this convention.
So what is the fact that we have this convention now on violence and harassment in the workplace, but what does that mean for your average worker anywhere in the world? What does that mean?
Well, the first thing that it does is send a very strong and clear message that violence and harassment in the workplace, or in the world of work, I should say, because the world of work goes beyond the physical workplace, is just not acceptable. Mm-hmm. As I say, incredibly, we did not have this strong signal before. So for millions of workers, and especially women workers, because the convention is very strong on the issue of gender-based violence and harassment. So for millions of women workers, it means that we now have a tool, we now have an instrument with which to try to eradicate violence and harassment from our world of work.
Great. So does that mean we can start using it right away?
Well, that's a yes and a no answer. The yes is that as trade unions, we can already start to use the contents of the convention and its accompanying recommendation. And the recommendation gives guidance as to how the convention should be implemented. We can already start to use these instruments to negotiate policies with employers, in our collective bargaining with employers, in our social dialogue with governments. But before the convention can come into force, a minimum of two governments have to have ratified it, so have signed on to it. And even then, the convention will not come into force until the second, a year after the second of those ratifications. It's really important to get those ratifications because then the ratifying governments have to put it into effect at national level. And then we can start using it in our courts, start making sure that employers are observing what's contained in the instruments. And also we can start using the ILO's own supervisory mechanism to ensure that governments have indeed put the convention into effect properly at national level.
The central Chinese government in Beijing is continuing its crackdown on democracy and union activists in Hong Kong. The territory has been hit by protests since the Hong Kong authorities announced that they were planning to send arrested people to the mainland for incarceration. In the latest move, the authorities arrested and charged Lee Chuk-yan, the president of the Hong Kong Confederation of Trade Unions. Mr. Lee was charged with participating in a public rally in August 2019. He is one of 7,000 people who were arrested. Here is Mr. Lee.
The police brutality had escalated, you know, from a lot of tear gas, 5,000 rounds of tear gas, 3,000 rounds of rubber bullets, and to real bullets, you know, and beating up of protesters, arresting about 2,000 people. So all this police brutality is the drive the anger of the people. You know, imagine when your classmate or your friends are being arrested and beaten up by police, what will you do yourself? You may join the protest.
The International Trade Union Confederation has called for the charges against Mr. Lee to be dropped. The ITUC also called on the Hong Kong authorities to allow public rallies, stop arresting people who attend rallies, and end the harassment of union leaders. With his report about union events, here is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Each day, Labor Start's volunteers collect hundreds of news items about the struggles of workers and their unions from around the world in 35 languages. Here's a small sample of their hard work. Our top story sections included links to coverage of the acquittal of Turkish union leaders on terrorism charges, the arrest of a Hong Kong union leader, and the almost daily death threats experienced by union activists in Central America. We also had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Among the many stories about wage strikes that we carried this week were ones about Portuguese retail workers and Spanish call center employees. Walkouts by workers fighting government austerity policies included strikes by Spanish social service workers, Mexican university staff, Brazilian municipal employees, and teachers and doctors in Paraguay. There was a solidarity strike in Belize as 150 dockers downed tools when 40 of their comrades were laid off. Attacks on basic labor rights saw healthcare workers in South Africa refusing routine work for a few hours to protest their employer's refusal to meet their representatives to discuss workplace complaints. In a category of its own this week is the Haitian healthcare workers' strike against the general chaos in that country and the lack of resources that the workers have as they attempt to treat the victims of widespread violence. The current round of violence began several weeks ago when the police struck in an effort to gain recognition of their union. Our Working Women pages, now available in 9 languages, included stories about International Women's Day plans around the globe, including calls for a national women's strike in Spain, the long and proud history of working women's struggles in the Australian steel industry, and the fight to win humane working conditions for domestic workers in South Africa. The Free Health and Safety Newswire we offer in cooperation with Hazards Magazine carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about union condemnation of the targeting of schools by Syrian government forces, the closure of the Louvre over staff fears of coronavirus exposure, while at the same time Australian airline workers face discipline and even the sack for demanding proper personal protective equipment, how electronic surveillance is destroying the health of Indian sanitation workers, and yet another suicide at a Foxconn facility in China. Current campaigns we are running at the request of unions around the world include an urgent appeal for solidarity with the Albanian Miners Union, which is the target of government and employer repression. 15 seconds is all it takes to send a solidarity message. Look for details on our site. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is Union Nation with A Woman's Place.
A woman's place is in her union. We organize and stand. Hardships and discrimination, ongoing battles we continue to fight. Dedicated to get the job done. A woman's place is in her union. Fearless and productive, embracing and strong. I'm a union woman, and this is where I belong. Union woman, that's what I am. Mother to a future guaranteed to take a stand. A union woman, on me you can depend. I'll lift you up when you need a helping hand. Walk with me, brothers and sisters in this nation. Let the world know all about our situations. We'll overcome all the evils in the workplace and make this world better for the union race. Dedicated to get the job done. A woman's place is in her union. Fearless and productive, embracing yet strong. I'm a union woman, this is where I belong.
Union Nation is produced by the International Association of Machinists, the IAM. And that's it international labor news you can use. You can find our features and daily newscasts on our website at www.radiolabor.net. I'm Marc Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.